1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got a great show for you today. We got vets and a long lost friend on here today. So we got Katie, we got Pierce, and we got Madeline. You know that back in the day, I used to underline the word line.
Yeah, because he couldn't remember
to
line.
To make sure I said Madeline instead of Madeline. Yeah. As always, we've got producer Julian here.
Pushing buttons.
Dude, you're killing it over there. Yeah. Those keys, they've been tickled, and you're rocking and rolling. Yeah,
well, I appreciate it. But you know who looks better than me today is you. With that suit jacket.
I appreciate it. This is my favorite. Yeah. Houndstooth. It's very warm, and I got an overcoat.
Nice.
This might be too much information, but you can kind of see it a little bit. I'm wearing long underwear under here because I stood outside a lot today.
It is very chilly. I think they said coldest day of the year, which might reveal when we recorded this. But
which
even
is Valentine's
live,
Day.
Valentine's Day, yeah.
Isn't that right? Isn't the show coming out on Valentine's Day?
Absolutely.
Isn't today Valentine's
today
Day?
Today is Valentine's Day.
Perfect. And we are broadcasting live from the capital of the American state of Greenland, which is exciting here on Valentine's Day.
It's my second time back here. It's great. It's still cold.
It's great. Welcome to the Union, Greenland. It's been great. A lot of things have changed in the past month or so, and we're rock and roll.
They have, but it still looks the same.
Yeah. May or may not have Show Knows Benny in here over there, killing it, doing stuff, or isn't. Nobody knows. But we got a good show today. So, What's on Your Mind episode. Always like What's on Your Mind. We just kind of chit chat. It's a lot of fun. But we're going to do a What's on Your Mind Valentine's Day episode today. And I have no idea what that means. I know Madeline has a piece of paper with a lot of words written on it, apparently in prep for that. And we're going to get started with fun facts here in a second. But first, we're going to open in prayer. Would you mind, Pierce? You got the best radio voice in the studio today.
Thank you. All right. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've done for us that we don't deserve. I pray that you are honored and glorified in all that we say and do, always, and especially in the show. Help us to exemplify you in all things. Keep you preeminent in all things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. I'm solid. I don't grade prayers anymore because of the rules. Yeah. But like, I'd give you like a 90. I'd give you a solid 90. That's an A.
Right, going up in scores.
Really good.
But it's not real because I don't do that anymore.
Going up in like metaphors.
Well, I don't do that. It's been a while, so I don't do those anymore. I'm not allowed to grade prayers anymore, Madeline. But I
said that was really good coming from you.
Yeah, that's good.
If I were, I'd get into prayer college with those kind of scores.
You could.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
All right,
First
so happy
seminary.
Valentine's Day to everybody. Let's kick off our fun facts with Katie over here.
Okay.
You just owe us one. Pierce owes us one. Madeline, it's been too long. You've earned another one, so you owe us two. We get to you.
Okay. Well, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, which is around the corner,
It's happening right now. Valentine's Day.
Yep. Absolutely. My fun fact is that I was not planning to wear this outfit today, this t-shirt. I actually had a cute little outfit planned with lots of hearts and flowers, and it was red and pink everywhere, and I didn't wear that today because I found this t-shirt that I got at a Life Teen camp a couple years ago, and anyone that...
Universal Basic Income.
Wrong.
Okay.
It is an acronym, so you were close, but anyone that has been to Cove Crest Camp, a gentleman, he goes by Happy, and he gave us all these t-shirts, and it says UBI, and it's an acronym. It says, you know, you are the best, be happy, I love you.
Oh.
So in honor of Valentine's Day, I thought I would show, as the Apostle Paul says, love one another with a genuine affection, outdo one another in generosity. So I thought I would show my affection to the world and to the listeners and to the viewers
by advocating for a universal basic income.
Very
hashtag
nice.
Andrew Yang.
That's right.
I'm sad that I didn't bring mine because I also have one of those shirts.
I do.
Oh. Yes.
You got a love necklace on too.
I do. That's I nice. Thought yeah. I'd have like a. This was actually given to me by She was, this never actually happened, though. She was supposed to get married during COVID. And, of course, COVID shut that whole thing down. I was going to be a bridesmaid in her wedding. And this was all a bridesmaid's gift. So this was in our little bridesmaid's goodie bags. So,
my sister-in-law got married during COVID, and it might have been the best reception I've ever been to. Mm. It was super tiny because it was illegal. Right. And it was just in an Airbnb and just super intimate and precious. And I loved every second of it.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome.
She's pregnant with her second baby right now.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Pray for her.
All right, Pierce, you owe us one. What you got?
If you can look at our heights, we actually are both, what house are you?
6'4".
Yeah, so we're about 6'4".
And you're standing right now, which is...
Yeah.
Well, actually, she's 6'4".
Yeah.
We had to raise the table high for this episode.
We're all standing.
Yes.
My fun fact is, I've been single on a lot of Valentines, because I'm afraid, especially back when I was not. The BC, Pierce, before Christ, Pierce, mm-hmm. I was afraid of commitments, terrified. So I did find out that China Walk, or any kind of like Chinese hole-in-the-wall restaurant...
Yeah.
Nobody goes on Valentine's Day or Christmas, except for like me and a few other Jewish people for Christmas. But Valentine's Day, easiest restaurant you'll go to is like a Chinese restaurant. They'll serve you. They'll play the little Korean or Chinese or Japanese, whatever place you go to. They're doing covers of love songs.
While you eat noodles by yourself?
I was listening to like My Heart Will Go On in Chinese and Mandarin while I was eating, and it was the best dinner I'd ever had. It was like a boy dinner.
That sounds just really good. Yeah.
It's really good. So cheat code, you're single, go to a Chinese restaurant.
I'm guessing that probably doesn't count for P.F. Chang's. I could see that being a
little bit too corporate. Yeah. You got to go to like the one that you're not sure if it's open, but there, because no one's there, but they're always open.
Yeah.
And then you're not sure if you're going to walk out alive, but the food's incredible.
Oh, it's amazing. Let me tell you some more things about that restaurant you're talking about. There is always like an 11-year-old girl doing her homework and answering the phones in the corner.
Yes.
Always. And you can't read the menus because the light has like burned out all the ink from the backlight up above them.
Yes.
And it's the best food ever.
Yeah.
And you just don't ask questions. It's fantastic.
There are certainly working children under the age of legality.
1,000%.
But their food is great.
Yep.
So
it's kind of worth it, really. Yeah. All right, Madeline, you owe us two. One more Valentine's Day fact, and I don't want to steal something from you because this might have been your fun fact. Participating Waffle Houses take reservations on Valentine's Day. They put tablecloths on the table, and they put candles out. It's really cool.
All of them do this?
No, just participating ones. It's not all of them. But you can find one. Like, they're around Atlanta and other places. You can go and reserve and have, like, a candlelit Waffle House dinner with a tablecloth.
I like
it's pretty cool.
Chick-fil-A does that, too, but they always put flowers on their tables. I just don't know about the tablecloth part.
Yeah. Well, I go somewhere so low-functioning, we can go to a high-class place like Waffle House.
Waffle House
over Chick-fil-A, you know. So
100%.
Exactly.
And it's not a Waffle House. It's a Waffle Home.
Exactly. Oh, Madeline. All right, I'm sorry. What was your fun fact? Plural.
They're not Valentine's Day themed, but two fun facts.
I'm going to make them all Valentine's Day themed.
Okay. Yeah. First, I'm wearing my favorite boots today.
And it's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day themed. Great. Next.
And then my pants, fun fact, I took them in this morning. They were a little too big, so I just sewed in the sides.
Oh, like you did it. You altered them yourself. Oh,
yeah,
on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day alteration.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those were both very Valentine's Day.
Love
that. Thank you. Actually, I think they were more Valentine's Day than theirs.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have anything for Valentine's Day?
Sure, yes. And I actually, I may refer to it as Saint Valentine's Day. I heard a priest in a homily one time that said, hey, why do we negate the saint? Because it is Saint Valentine's Day, like Saint Patrick's Day. Why do we take away his sainthood? But Saint Valentine loved bees. He was a beekeeper, as a legend says it, but he's also the patron saint of bees. So, yeah.
I've kept many bees in my life.
Really?
Actually, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We stopped when we moved, but I've got all the gear, and we're going to do it again.
So. Yeah. Good honey. Fresh honey.
We had wax moths who were terrible. Yeah. There's a big analogy there with the devil.
Right.
Coming at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was cool. I don't think I have any fun facts. I'm trying to think. I feel like I need to have one now.
You shared the Waffle House facts?
You just shared the...
Why do they have to be fun?
Oh, that is fun. I guess that's fun.
That's really
all right,
fun.
Here's a fun fact. I fought with mites forever when I had bees, right? There's all those kinds of, like, bee mites that'll get in there. And I bought all the stuff. And finally, the only thing that actually worked was some not FDA-approved... I'm not even sure if you're, like, supposed to be imported into the country. I got it from a link on some weird beekeeper website. It came in all like Russian or just Cyrillic script all over this like black package wrapped up in tape like from somebody's garage. And the instructions were just drop these in there. And I did. And I never had any mites. And I might like, I don't know, have a third kidney or something. I don't know what it did to the honey. Yeah. But it got rid of the mites. And I had really strong bees when I did that.
I believe they call this the dark web.
This episode of Honest to God is actually brought to you by mite killing, dark web Russian, non-FDA approved mite killers. Yeah.
Find it on Silk Road.
That's right. Please don't go. Don't try to find.
Don't go on Silk Road. It's a joke.
With a dot onion address ever. Don't do that.
Might get canceled. This might just. That's okay. Being canceled today is actually the way of the world. Speaking of getting canceled, help us not get canceled and shoot us a like down below. Give us a comment. Tell us that you're not going to go to Silk Road. Yeah. Actually, yeah, comment Silk Road because that might blow this video up a little bit. Sure. If I'm being honest. But it's not about the dark web.
Log into your Tor browser, like and subscribe. All you got
to
do.
Tell your friends, push that share button and send it to everybody that you know.
So this is a kind of a segue back to other topics and vaguely Catholic too, so I'm going to say it. hypothetically, as a joke, I watched... once again, this isn't serious. This is all a joke. I don't have any cable or Wi-Fi at my house. That's true. But the joking part is that so I streamed. You could use the word pirate, right? But I watched the Notre Dame UGA Sugar Bowl game, and it's pretty wild. I'm a Notre Dame fan, and you're a UGA fan, but you're
UGA
serious
alum,
about,
actually, not yeah, just a fan. But, there's yeah, a lot yeah. of fans that did not go there.
See, but I think that's part of the reason why I root against UGA so often is because there's so many people with no connection to the university who are all about. Plus, I got a lot of family connections to Tech and all of that stuff. But I did enjoy that game.
It was good. I mean, it was a good game, and I do have a soft spot for Notre Dame being in the first Catholic college, quote-unquote, for the U.S.
Hey, no, that new coach, though, Freeman, he takes all the players back to Mass. He's doing Mass again. He converted. He's a recent convert. He's got, like, six kids. He seems like he's killing it.
Yeah, and there's apparently Catholic icons all over that stadium, and it's incredible, so... I'm cheering for Notre Dame to lose against Texas, which we will find out if that was...
Does Texas even count as an SEC team, right? Are you still... You're going to go with that?
Georgia beat them twice.
Last great hope.
And if Texas beats Notre Dame, then we effectively beat Notre Dame at
our best. I don't think that's how football works, but okay, sure.
Yeah, but this came out of Valentine's Day, so we already know the result, but you know who I was cheering for in the national championship.
Yeah, we all know who won the national championship, obviously. We're not going to talk about it because you haven't watched it. Cool. So I want to dig into all things What's On Your Mind Valentine's Day, and I have no idea what that means, so I'm going to kick off with Madeline.
I feel like we should start with, who is St. Valentine? Why do we celebrate?
Can I tell you all I know about him?
Go for it.
He was a martyr. Mm-hmm. He got his head chopped off. And I saw a really funny comic one time where all the other saints were, like, reading the petitions to St. Valentine's, and he was sitting there acting frustrated, and they were all like, please make Johnny fall in love with me. And he keeps saying things like, I have a red crown of martyrdom. I gave my life for Christ. And it's like, Susie doesn't have a crush on me back. Ooh. And it was like St. Augustine, like, making kissy faces while reading it. I thought it was really funny. So that is the extent of my knowledge about St. Valentine. I would love to be educated.
Well, there's a lot of different story. Well, not a lot, but, like, I feel like there's three solid ones that I've heard of. And two of them definitely talked about his martyrdom. But it was like two of them specifically said he was marrying Christians in private, and that's why he was imprisoned and then killed.
Is he a Roman martyr? Martyr of the Romans? Okay.
But one of them said so I think he was a bishop, and I don't know what happened for marriage to become, like, illegal or anything, but I know he was marrying people in secret. He was caught, he was imprisoned, and then he fell in love with, like, the head guy's daughter or something like that.
Like the prison warden's daughter. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they had, like, written notes to each other, and one of the notes he had signed, in love, Valentine, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where the big Valentine's, when you send your Valentine to somebody, I think that's comes from.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's about all I know. And then, yeah, he's patron saint of beekeepers and epilepsy as well.
The big three: bees, epilepsy, and love. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Neat.
Yeah.
No, that was really, like, you just taught me more about St. Valentine. I should have at least, like, Wikipedia'd him or something before we started this episode.
Yeah. It's okay. Now you didn't have to.
Yeah. So. Why?
Otherwise, we wouldn't have learned anything.
Why would we? Why do we even need Wikipedia when we have Honest to God on AM 1160 The Quest Atlantis Radio? Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. My big question: this is probably the heaviest hitting theological question of the entire day. Which is, and, you know, I probably get a lot of hate on this on the internet. I really appreciate how modern art is increasingly moving away when showing the Sacred Heart and the Sorrowful Heart they're moving away from the regular kind of classic Valentine's Day heart design to the real human heart design. Mm. Big fan of that. I don't know why that started, but that's been popping up a lot lately. I think it's really cool. Every time I see a t-shirt, it's got like the cool anatomically correct heart. I'm like, heck yeah.
I agree. The other day I went to get my thirds pierced and I was at a tattoo shop. And they had a huge picture of the Sacred Heart. Mm-hmm. And Jesus and I was like, wait, this is so cool.
Like a heart heart? It looked like
a heart heart.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. It was like, well, it was Jesus, and then it had his heart. Like.
And I don't even know if I can defend why that one's better, but I think that it just makes it a little more like, I don't know, like guttural and mm-hmm. human. And unless, I think I've got so many connotations with the like little Valentine's like hand heart, right, that it just seems like cartoonish to me. And so when you really see it, it's like, no, we're talking about a real thing that really matters. Mm-hmm. Corporeal flesh and blood, right? So.
Yeah. Comment your favorite down below. Do you like the real heart or the secular whatever this
And if you like
is,
the secular yeah. cartoon heart, just know that you are directly denying the humanity of Jesus.
Wrong. But just comment it down below. Wrong.
Yep, that is. You are a... I'm trying to think of heresy that did that really well. Come on, who denied the humanity of Jesus? The Arians denied his true divinity. Come on.
Was it Nestorius? I don't know if it was Nestorius.
Nestorius did a lot of weird stuff. Yeah. I just don't remember what it was. The Nestorians were monophysites, right? Like Coptics? I don't know.
You're the history expert here.
Yeah, that's good. There was a time. There was a time when I would have been able to tell you that. I don't know what it is. Right. All right, what else you got, Madeline? You got a whole laundry list over there.
Okay, I feel like before we dive into like the Valentine's Day tradition, and dates and who asked who and all that. What is like, well, one thing I want to say, like, what does love mean to you at your age? But then also let's go back to the original definition of love. What is love?
I want to talk about this so bad.
Do it.
Does somebody else want to jump in before I just rant? Because I'll go off.
Are you going with the St. Thomas Aquinas definition?
I'm going to go with the actual definition of love.
Okay, which is from, you go ahead. I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, love is willing the good of another for their own sake. Right?
St. Thomas Aquinas.
And, hey, I took the same class as you did, all right? I sat through, who did we read the Fester book with?
Was it not Urbanczyk? Or... It was Dr. Bowring.
Was it Bowring? See, I was about to say, I don't think it was Bowring.
You don't think it was Bowring?
Yeah, I think it was Bowring, actually. Yeah, I was there for that.
Hey, you didn't go to college with us, Madeline. You're like 15 years younger than I am.
I'm just kidding.
But it's willing the good of another for their own sake, which is neat, because then I can always fall back on. I have this conversation all the time with high schoolers, right? We talk about Christ telling us to love our enemies. Christ telling us we're supposed to love everybody. And then we talk about worst people you can think of. Adolf Hitler, serial killers, child molesters, like the dregs of humanity, right? And you are still called to love them, because love is a movement of the will. It is willing their good for their own sake. Love is not primarily a feeling, right? There are feelings that can be tied up in it, but love in and of itself is a movement of the will. And that's why I think marriage is in such a horrible state in our country, because people tie this up with a feeling. Yeah. And I've been married to my wife for almost 14 years now. I love her desperately. I would do anything for that woman. She's literally the best thing that ever happened to me. You should clip that and send it to her. It'll make her happy. But I don't always feel super lovey. I don't feel butterflies in my stomach like I did when I was 19 and we were going out on a date. I do sometimes, but not very often. And I love her so much more now.
Yes.
Than I did then.
Yes.
Yeah. I think about that Brad Paisley song, I Thought I Loved Her Then, all the time now. You know that song? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's a tearjerker when you get older and you go, oh, you know that song? You guys heard that song? Oh, it's fantastic. All right, what's love? Pierce, Katie, come on. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
That's what it is right there.
Right.
Don't watch that music video, by the way.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought about watching it with my Theology of the Body kids. I was like, I'm going to play that just for fun. I looked it up before class. I was like, no, I'm not. That is not okay.
Oh, man.
So sad.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess if I could summarize love, I would reiterate what I said earlier in this episode, which is simply to love one another with a genuine affection. Mm. And I think... someone who did this, which I've said this constantly to anyone that knows me, knows that I am completely, I don't, is it weird to say you're obsessed with a saint, or is that unhealthy to say you're obsessed with a saint? Because
No.
Well, I am absolutely obsessed with Saint Teresa of Calcutta. That is my girl. She is my everything standard. I want to be like her. And I hope that I am like her if and when I become God makes me a saint. I hope I'm like her. But I think she is the perfect example of loving one another with a genuine affection. She genuinely loved the world. I mean, and the world did not always love her. But she still loved the world. And she, I mean, obviously served the poorest of the poor. Her religious order, whom I served with my ministry, Abide Catholic Young Adults. We actually worked at the Gift of Grace House, which I truly recommend giving them a call and finding out some of their volunteer opportunities. But they continue to serve the poor and the marginalized in the world, and particularly in the Atlanta area. They take care of those who are addicts. They take care of those who are disabled, you know, or with terminal illnesses. It's just, you know, it's just incredible. And it's a life changer when you go and visit them. So if I could summarize love in one person, it would be St. Teresa of Calcutta.
I don't mean to take the air out of the conversation, but I think I might. I agree. First of all, obviously, you're right. St. Teresa is fantastic. My sister-in-law is in the convent. She's named after her. It's beautiful, right? The thing that I struggle with, and I struggle to communicate and to articulate, is not loving people who make me uncomfortable, right? I can love a leper, right? Or like Mother Teresa, right? People dying of AIDS. And I understand how you can do that. I'm not in a position in my life where I'm often doing those things. Maybe I should be more. But what about Adolf Hitler? Do you love Adolf Hitler?
I would love him in a Christian way.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean for that to be as clickbaity as I said. Do you love Adolf Hitler? And then no.
But I'm serious. Yeah,
but what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, yeah, you should. You should. You are absolutely 100% called to do that.
That's our show title. Do you love Adolf Hitler?
Adolf Hitler. That is going to be. Do you love Adolf Hitler like he does?
Show notes, Benny. Do you love?
No, but tell me what that means, because you're right. Like, we all should. Mm-hmm. And insert, take off Adolf Hitler and put out any awful, horrible human being, right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? You love him in a Christian way?
Well, and there's always a, you know, kind of a sarcastic tone to that statement, we should love someone in a Christian way, because it's almost like a snarky way of saying, oh, well, I really don't like you, but I'm going to love you because Jesus wants me to, and Jesus died for you, and this and that. But
yeah.
You know, what does it mean, love someone in a Christian way? I think that to see them as Christ sees them and to kind of... Somebody once told me, I forget who told me this, but they gave a really good analogy. It's like the way their mother looked at them when they were first born. That's how you should love them.
Okay. So I had the same conversation with my spiritual director, and he said something really similar.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I was talking about, and this is going to sound more melodramatic than I mean for it to, but like self-love and loving myself and not just sort of being hard on myself. And he said, you need to look at yourself the way God looks at you. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, that's great, but that's super ambiguous. What does it mean to look at myself the way God looks at me? And he applied it to other people too. He said, you should look at people like God sees them. I said, how does God see them? And he says, think about yourself. And now take away everything bad you've ever done. Take away all the evil, sinful things you've ever done. I said, okay, great. And he said, now take away all the good, all your accomplishments. Take away everything to where you're just this thing. And he said, what do you look like? You probably look a whole lot like a baby, right? How do you look at a baby and not love that, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, that's the way God looks at us. And sometimes we're dumb and we do... sometimes we're evil and we do evil, horrible things. But he still looks at us as these things that are removed from the actions that we have done. And he looks at us as children. And that helped me so much sort of in my spiritual life and my understanding of looking at other people and looking at myself. And yeah.
I have a feeling that your spiritual director and my spiritual director are on the same page.
Ah, cool. Yeah.
Not that I know who your spiritual director is, but...
And I'll never tell. His name's Father Bruce Wren. He lives behind Pinecrest.
Over just got to twist your arm just a little bit. You'll get it so quick.
Yeah, I'm really bad at keeping secrets.
You know, one of the things that I love to do.
It's
loving with your eyes, like you just talked about, looking at somebody like they're a baby, but not obviously treating them like they're ignorant or stupid like a baby. Well, babies aren't stupid, but homeless people. are very, very, very challenging to really see through all of those layers of their filth and their decisions in life. And if you are able to really kind of look at them through God's eyes and sit down and just talk to them, it's harder to be very vigilant if you're a woman, especially at night. But when I lived in Athens, Georgia, there is a lot of homeless people there. And if I was ever just kind of downtown and needed a break, I would go outside and talk to a homeless person while they were begging. And they're the coolest people that you will ever meet. And it's, you can really just kind of, you almost feel protected then if you become friends with them. Oh. Nobody will mess with you if you know the homeless.
Wow.
So just a little thing that I tried to do, and it was a lot of fun.
I like that a lot. We have a lot of homeless people in my area in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And one of the things that always I was raised on was to be taught that these people made that decision. They don't want to have, you know, housing. They don't want to, because they wanted to do drugs, right, or whatever. They wanted to do more.
Yeah, drugs and mental illness and all that, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just never thought twice about them. Like, we would go to Braves games back when we were at the old stadium, and just they would be like, ignore, they don't want anything. So my heart began to change when I became Catholic, specifically for homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know there was, like, missions work. I didn't know the social work of the Catholic Church yet. But I started this thing where every time I see somebody, usually they're postered out in front of my gas station or my grocery store, I'll see them and just go, I want to talk to you. Do you want any food, anything? I'll just get them whatever they want. And we'll just sit and talk for a second. And, like, just a little bit of communication. Because, like, everybody will give them at some point during the day money or
toss stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But just like you said, to talk with them has been super interesting. Then you start praying for them. Like, I started, like, feeling really in intense for those people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's humanizing in a way that tossing them a couple bucks isn't humanizing.
And I'm sure they must feel like animals when they get that. I know that they still need it. They still need the funds or the food. Mm-hmm. But I think rarely do people sit and take time to, like, love's a verb, and to verbalize that with actions is one thing that they might miss out on.
Pierce, I just wanted to say something to kind of piggyback on what you said. I always was challenged as kind of a young person to also be, you know, kind of be present with them, because you can also, that almost, they had it when I was a teenager, we used to go and give sack lunches to the homeless in Atlanta and the transient community, and you really find out where their heart is without even really knowing them, because, you know, like you said, anybody can go and hand them a couple bucks or go get them a burger from McDonald's. But, like, if you give them, you know, something that you made with your own hands, you know.
Absolutely.
That's my only thought on that.
Love that.
Awesome. Well, we're about to go to break here in a second. Madeline, I know you got a lot of good stuff that we're going to continue to go through your, like, pages plural of written ideas for today's episode. But we're going to have to take a really short break first. And when we get back, we're going to dig into all things vaguely rabbit hole related to Valentine's Day. So I'm super pumped, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being here, guys. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
What's love? I don't know the other one.
John Henry, you are sounding great, but we are actually
back.
We are back. Yeah.
Copyright claim. Come at me, whoever owns the rights to that.
Yeah, I think we'll be good. It's fair use. It was less than a certain amount of time, so we're fine.
Big fan of Tina. Big fan.
Yeah. She's great.
She passed away. God rest her soul.
Yep. Yeah. We'll pray for her soul. Yeah.
All right, Madeline, we're back to you. What you got?
Okay.
You can't come in here with that big old list and not expect me to go back to you.
No, the well as you should. Okay. And these ones, these are not, like, we don't have to go in depth. We could just.
I want to go so in depth.
spitfire okay. these ones, okay?
Fine, spitfire.
One thing I want to start off with is Valentine's Day just for the couples.
Yes.
Okay.
You said rapid fire. I'm not even letting, it's so rapid fire, I'm not letting anybody else talk.
No.
Next. No, I'm kidding. We can go wherever.
Well, I want to, because I was talking to Janice about this before, and we were like talking, is this, because I know, like, the girls have come up with Galentine's Day, and then also just, like, a few things, like, is it okay for, like, a guy and a girl, they're just friends. Is it okay for the guy to get her a gift and her to get him a gift as friends? Like, without any connections, like, you know,
no.
not romantically.
No, this is great. I can keep answering all these questions.
Okay.
No, don't get a girl you're just friends with a present on Valentine's Day, obviously.
Okay, but what about
unless
the gals?
You're interested in going
yeah,
deeper.
And I'm pretty sure if a guy does that, he's interested in her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I know so, girls can do it, guys can't.
Yeah, so guys actually do okay. that if you're really interested.
Amen, okay. Yeah.
Well, then that could lead me to my next one. It's like, how do you show somebody you're interested in them? From a guy to a girl, girl to a guy.
You read that book about the love languages.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a true believer. I've been converted. My wife, she's got all those weird books about temperament and love languages and whatever, and all the weird stuff she's gotten me onto, and I used to laugh about it and make fun of it. It's all right.
Mm-hmm. So what are yours?
What, my temperament?
Yeah, you know, your love languages.
Oh, well, it's awkward if I say it on air, actually. Maybe I...
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it won't sound awkward. I don't want it to be read into too much, because I don't mean it this way. I'm a big physical touch guy.
Yeah, no,
I'm
that's a love language. It's not. It's not, nobody needs to read into that. A lot
Good.
Of people, I'm physical touch as well as quality time.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. I'm not a gift giver. Or I don't like getting gifts at all. I don't really care at all about gifts.
I don't either.
At Christmas, I'm that dad now who's like, don't give me anything. I need some socks and undershirts. That's about
I have
it.
To concoct a list, and it's always just like an adult list. It's not even fun.
Yeah.
Like this year, I had to, by my family, get Christmas ideas for them to give me.
Yeah.
And so I asked for a knife set for my kitchen.
Ooh, that's
and good. Towels. That was Heck that yeah. was like, and I was excited about those because they were practical.
I got a big and tall extra large towel for Christmas.
That's a
it's the best.
Where were you at Christmas?
It's the best. Dude, hit me up next time. I'll give you good
puny...
gifts. I'll tell you things you want.
We're both 6'4", but I got these puny
yeah.
towels.
Yeah, that would
know,
be so nice to have.
No, I got a giant towel now. Because none of the other ones I could barely wrap around myself and it would tuck in and like barely held on. No, this thing's great.
Nice.
Yeah, I think for the pursuing part, though, like how do you tell somebody that you're interested or like make them a Valentine? I mean, like, I've always just been very forward. I'm a big fan of like Woody Allen films. I'm a romantic at heart, despite what Heck he is as a person
outside
of his films. His films are great. And I've never been one to like want to or have to... like kind of play the game. I've always just been up front, you know, and just if you wanted to go out, then ask him out. If you wanted to take him out, take him to Chinese because nobody's there. It's a great thing for Valentine's Day. Yeah.
I think that's great. Personally, as a girl, I think guys should do that more often. I've had to do that to guys several times. There's one time we were like talking for like weeks and we'd gone on like a few unofficial dates and I was like, I'm tired of this. I called him up and I said, what are we? He was like, I don't know. And I was like, do you want a relationship? He was like, I don't know. And I was like, we should stop hanging out.
But I will say...
I'm with you on that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, there's actually like... So as somebody that more often than not is the one that's going forward in something and engaging and like presenting that idea or that topic, I think it is pretty... Can we say hot about Valentine's Day? Is hot
okay? Hot's loud.
I think hot's fun. Okay. I think it's hot when a girl does... not every time, right? But like randomly she asserts to something like she wants. Like, I want you to take me here. I do like you. I like that.
That
it's a refreshing thing to have.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's refreshing,
So I genuinely want to know this. I want to gauge the guys' opinions in the room. Like, do guys actually think that it's too forward for a woman to say, hey, I like you?
No.
No?
No,
kind of.
Really?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'll give you my argument, and then I want to see. Because, like, guy, to me, as a man, a lot of times, myself, maybe not all guys, I'm like a dog. I need a direct command. Like, women, I think, as there was a joke from Owen Benjamin, women have this idea that an observation is a command, and men will just be like, I observe that with you. Like, if it's cold in here, they're like, it's cold. You're like, it is cold. You don't, like, catch, like, I need to do something.
Right.
They're like, could you give me a blanket? They're like, do you need provision? Because I can provide that. Like, and they'll, like, that's, like, their mission. So if a girl is like, I like you, and it's very straightforward, now I have a dog brain of going, like, should I go with this or not? Like, now I have this, like, this dichotomy, yes or no. Do I like her back or not? I don't have to wonder for days or weeks what's going on in her head.
I've been married 14 years. I've been out of this game for 16 years, right? But personally, and maybe this is a temperament thing, I always struggled with what some might call arrogance. And I always operate under the assumption that every girl is madly in love with me. This is not healthy. You shouldn't do this, right? If I had one thing that I would say about girls, once again, from my very old, removed from the dating game perspective, it's girls, stop playing hard to get. That's not cute. You're just confusing that guy. And all of a sudden he's going to think, oh, you're actually not interested. And then he's going to like do hands off. So that's definitely bad. But I'm old school in that I think it is the guy's responsibility to take the uncomfortable step of saying, hey, you want to go get coffee? Hey, you want to go do whatever? To actually initiate the relationship, because, and I've talked about this before in the show, right? It takes an act of fortitude. That's a courageous, scary thing. Even if it's, will you go to homecoming with me? Right? Sure. It's saying the thing and looking the girl in the eye. So I'm not saying it's a no-go for a girl to say, I like you. I would say, if I had to give a piece of advice to girls on this, once again, from my very limited perspective, it's just don't play games. If you're flirting with a guy and a guy is interested back, like, don't all of a sudden get weird and start playing hard to get and no longer be interested. I don't know. What do you think?
I like that. Yeah.
Julian, you've been around for a while.
There is the I like you. It does. It's a little forward, but part of me feels like it would be okay. I've also been out of the dating game for a long time. But I always say that I'm dating my wife every single day. There are days that she's like, I don't really like you right now.
Yeah.
And, if a girl does tell you that and you're a guy, you need to be very honest with her right away.
Tell you what? And so she says, I like you?
Yeah. So tell her then, like, oh, I like you too. Then ask her out. But if you don't, then just be honest. I don't really feel that way. You know, or don't say, thanks, and then leave her hanging. Don't leave any sort of cliffhanger if a girl does do that. But then after that, it is on you to pursue.
But I think that's my issue, right? Because that's why I feel like the guy's the one who says, hey, I like you. Hey, let's go do something, whatever. Because he's the one who's walking out on the plank there and saying, dude, you can cut me down right now if you want to. But I think this is like a generational divide thing. I don't think Pierce is quite a generation, but you're like a decade behind us. And I don't know. Because we were talking off air. I have no idea how social media has affected the dating game.
I think Bukowski said life was absurd. And so when I like pursuing, because there is an absurdity to it. Like, it doesn't matter, especially if you just met them. Like, you'll likely never see them again unless you just are asking people only in your church,
right?
Only in your parish. So, yeah, I've always liked the come what may aspect of it. If this doesn't happen, then I've lost nothing. As long as you don't, like, trip or, like, throw up or something like that. Like, just ask, have fun. But I do like the random parts where a girl is just like, hey, my cards are on the table. And I'm like, this is so much better for my brain. I can make that decision live. You still don't be weird and be like, thank you. And then, like, you run away, like you said.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just be like, okay, yeah, I like you too. Or I really just am in a spot now of singleness or whatever you got to say to, like, you know, to get out of there. But, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like both.
I'll add that it might be good, especially if you have a feeling like, oh, I think this guy might kind of be into me. Sometimes guys need a little bit of a push.
More than what you think of a hint is not always a hint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was also another one of my questions was, like, how to show the other person you're interested by not directly saying, I like you, but, like, one thing me and Janice were talking about before was, like, learning the love languages we were talking about earlier of people, and like if you are physical touch, throw back to when you were 20-something with Angie. That's your wife's name, right? Okay, yeah. Nice, yeah. And if your love language was physical touch, her, like, while you're talking, tapping you on the shoulder or the arm or something like that.
We used to hold hands and pray the rosary together in the car every single night.
That's adorable. That's adorable. I love it.
Wholesome, wonderful way ever.
I love
it. It was so great.
One of my love languages to receive is also physical touch, but I like the little ones, like when you're sitting on the couch and your knees touch, or like you're holding pinkies, or, you know, like the little, like, I'm there kind of thing. But vice versa, I think for both parties, like, how do you show someone? Like when you're getting to know each other, or like you've been friends for a while, but it's like, how do we break that barrier without being outright like, I want to pursue you. I think I want to pursue you, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's really interesting how even the church uses love languages. I mean, not officially. It's not really in church doctrine that we, at least not that I know of, that, you know, the church, the five love languages was not written by a Catholic. It was written by, I believe, a Protestant pastor, or I'm not sure his name, but
nobody's perfect.
Right. But what what I was gonna say was, it's amazing how the love languages apply to Christians in general, because there are some people that I myself have dated that are not physical touch people at all. Their love languages are more like you said, Julian, quality time or acts of service. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if I even try to hold, you know, my boyfriend's hand, it's like, it's almost like a, no, I'm not cool with this. I'm not cool. I like you, but I'm not cool with this. You know, it's like, it's nothing personal, but it can almost get them out of their bubble as well. Because it's like, you know, they realize, you know, oh, hand holding isn't really that bad. Or, you know, oh, hugging is not passionate. It's not lustful. It's not, you know, it doesn't lead to anything. Or, well, you get the idea. You get the idea.
No, that is it. Because I talk to a lot of young people, right? A lot of college age people and everything. And there's a lot of times there's that physical boundary and what's crossing it. And I've heard totally disparate opinions. And I do think a lot of it is personalized. There's definitely things that obviously cross the line, right? Yeah. There's physical actions that are meant to cause sexual arousal. Obviously, that's something that should be reserved for marriage. But I have a dear friend of mine. You know him too. I won't say his name on air. But he didn't kiss his wife until his wedding day.
Wow.
Not once.
That's what my sister did.
I actually think it's super cool. But once again, I'm not saying it's sinful and terrible if you kiss your girlfriend goodnight or something like that, right? But I thought that was really, really neat.
I love that.
Yeah, and it was really beautiful. Cool. I mean, you talk about like that wedding day being a really special thing and all of that.
Your first kiss is your marriage kiss.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
I
know. Yeah. But we think, like I was saying earlier about Angie and I holding hands and praying the rosary in the car, and I said this 1,000 times on the show too, but we have these, we hear that, and to most people, it's like, what a corny, weird thing to do. And it's because we live in this gross, cynical society, right? It's not corny. That's beautiful and wholesome and good. Yeah. And once again, not saying it's for everybody. I'm not trying to moralize here. But no, I think a lot of it has to do with temperament and the individuals and everything. And he had other girlfriends and stuff before, but she was kind of adamant about this. And at first he was like, this is frustrating. And then he grew to realize, wait, actually, this is a good thing. This is helping me with temperance and self-mastery and all of this stuff.
So good. I think it's great for like an individual thing, especially as a guy. There's not been a lot of like temperament in my life,
right?
Or temperance in my life. But one thing I've noticed too, while being single, while being Catholic, has been it's really cool to have a different feeling where, like, I don't have any blinders anymore. So, like, sex was the biggest blinder of red flags for me, where I'm like, yeah, but, like, you know, we're meshing well in this regard. So, like, I can kind of ignore and push away all the other things that are in the way of, like...
Well, it's physiological, 100%. Too, with oxytocin that gets released in the brain and all that stuff.
Well, it's also, there's bonding chemicals released, like you said, like, when you're having sex. And so that there's a lot of things that push away the realities that are there. And then eventually and inevitably those things show their face, and it's usually far too gone, or you're far too connected. So it's been cool now, as a single guy, learning to like find if I like this person with no blinders. Because I've found that, just like me, to many girls, I'm sure, I'm not the most tolerable for them.
I don't believe it, Pierce.
I don't believe it. But
if you're just listening on the radio, you should see this guy. He's just a paragon of masculinity over there. Yeah.
I don't know.
6'4".
That's right. For me, it's been really cool to be able to like talk to somebody and not have anything guiding me elsewhere except for, do I like them? Do we get along? Do we believe in the same things?
Yeah.
And it's really cool when you find that, like, I thought mine was always physical touch. I realized I was just, you know, not a good person.
Right.
Like, I was just like a sexually active person. Now it is like quality time. I do enjoy getting to, like, if I can just sit and talk with you, this is the best thing ever. I love that.
Well, and I'll say this too. Conversations like you were talking about, a lot of times, especially in the 21st century Western world, right? The physical stuff comes first, and then the deeper understanding of who this person is. For the record, if anybody at home is wondering, your faith and your morals and your politics and the number of children you want to have, these are like first and second date conversations. Don't waste your time with somebody if you disagree about major fundamental things.
Sure.
I'm sure somebody told me that when I was a kid. I wish I had believed that from somebody when I was a teenager and thinking, I don't want to talk about that. That'll be weird and awkward. Like, no, what are you doing? The whole point, and I had no idea what the point of dating was, right, as a younger man, but is for marriage. And if we're not going to be compatible about the things that are most important, right, our faith, right, why are we wasting our time on this at all?
Well, all else is vanity. I mean,
100%.
Like, if you're just sexually attracted to this person in their prime, it's going to go away in 40 years, 10 years. You know, like, you're going to get tired of that person. If that's all you have to connect on is that or their looks and their crap the rest of the way, or vice versa, you are to them, then it will not work.
And, you know, this episode is about love, and John Henry and I have had the amazing blessing of being able to love everybody here, but particularly Pierce and Katie, who have both shared in depth their conversion stories. So to get to know both of these guys a little bit more, take a look down below at their conversion stories, because they you will love them on another level. I promise. Go and check them out. Yeah.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Wow.
What else you got, Madeline?
Well, on the topic of like showing interest, somebody asks you out, you don't like them. How do you tell them you're not interested lightly without like crushing them?
I have no idea.
When I was in story. When I was in fourth grade, I had like four guys ask me out in fourth grade. I was popping off.
Man.
But I wore this one I Love New York shirt, cutoff jeans, knee-high fuzzy socks.
I'm surprised there weren't more guys.
Hair was parted down the middle, low pony. Anyways, this boy, I was also a girl.
This young child,
I was a child as well. But he had like put a letter or a note in my desk, and it was like, "Will you go out with me? Yes or no?" And I was a teacher's kid, and he was also a teacher's kid. And so after, and I was like, I'm not interested. I am in fourth grade.
Nine.
I'm 10.
I want to go.
Yeah, 9 or 10.
Watch Coco.
And so I had put no, but my friend had wrote like rejected all over the envelope, and we gave it to one of his friends.
So not like that. That's not how you should write people down.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Especially to a 10-year-old.
And I would argue
any 10-year-olds out there listening, I hope you're not.
I mean, that you wait until after elementary school to start pursuing a serious relationship. I mean, call me old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think you started as a villain, Arch.
Yeah, exactly.
Rejected.
That guy currently has a layer in a volcano. We were in classes together from elementary school until we graduated. We were cool.
It would have never worked anyways. You were a teacher's kid. He was like a Capulet Montague type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a tumultuous start.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet.
Remember, kids, no dating until after you're married.
That's right.
Is that the rule?
That's where my Proud Family, the show that we watch when we were kids. You know.
Oh, good Lord. I forgot about that one.
It's great.
Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
But yeah, but how do you tell someone no?
I stink at that, dude. I am horrible at that. Because I don't know. I just get awkward. And then I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm just practicing singleness. And then it's very clearly not the best way to do it.
Uh-huh. Well, but from Madeline's perspective, I think the question would be answered better and probably easier. I'm recusing Julian and myself because we're married. We have no idea what's going on. So all these questions are directed at Pierce. If you were to ask a girl out, how can the girl let you down without breaking your masculine heart into 10,000 pieces?
A no is perfectly fine with me.
The most, I totally agree. The most straight up, hey, thank you so much. I'm just not
interested.
I feel like, I'm flattered, not interested.
Yeah.
And vice versa, which, as we talked about earlier, I do agree that guys should be the one to make the move. But if you are a confident lady out there and you decide and somebody says no, I think it's best to not get hung up on it because then it affects all your other relationships that you'll have with any other guys.
Yeah, it really is, especially when it's, I would imagine this is like a one or two times I've kind of talked to you more deep and I'm interested and I would like to pursue that. It's nothing's lost in a no.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's lost. Again, if somebody like just tore you apart, like here's why, you know, you have a weird body, I don't like the way, like then yeah, like of course, go to therapy for that. But I mean, a no's a no, it's fine, it's all good. And there's I think we're in the best part denominationally, if there were, you know, because we have like the largest amount of fish in the sea.
Exactly.
So there's plenty of Catholics that are, you know,
there's 1.3 billion other ones out
there.
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Sorry, I was receiving something from off camera.
I will share a quick story. When I was a child, or when I started dating my wife, I was a little bit of a, as you would call, a player. I don't know. I think that's what the kids really use nowadays. And I was seeing like four other women, but I really liked my wife a lot and she wasn't interested in me. And there was another female that I was pursuing pretty heavily during that time and it was getting very close. And then out of the blue, my wife kind of just started then showing some interest. And I went, oh, okay. So then I had to cut everybody off. And
yes,
the one that I had had grown pretty close to, I had to say, like, you know, I do like you, but I'm sorry. Like, there's just there is somebody else that really has captured my heart more, and I hate that, and I hate what I've done, and I'm sorry. So that was the way that I had to let her down.
But you know what, Julian? That is honestly a lot more honorable.
Yeah.
To tell Tell them I found someone else. Just tell them I found someone else that's more compatible for me. I mean, don't leave them wondering, because that, I've seen that happen to so many of my friends. It's happened to me as well.
Yeah.
And just be honest.
Mm.
I just got a from off in the ether to my right, a text message conversation of a guy breaking it off with a girl. And I think an excellent example of it.
Let's hear it.
Right? So the girl sends a message saying, hey, I had a really great time. That was super fun. Love to do it again sometime. Guy responds, I'll skim, but essentially, like, yeah, it was super fun. What a great time. Unfortunately, I'm just not feeling a romantic connection between us, but I really have enjoyed talking to you. You make such a good conversation. Good luck out there, and I hope you have a great time doing the thing that they're about to do. And then the person responded, thanks for being upfront and honest with me. I appreciate you taking the time to get to know me, and I wish you all the best. Which is the best on both parties. Go. I will say, guys, I think, deal with this more than girls do because of a pride thing. Mm-hmm. Accepting the rejection.
Sure.
I think guys have a tough time often being like, oh, okay, cool, thank you for letting me know. And there's much more of this sort of, I don't know, lame, butthurt, like, poor, pitiful me. That's actually, I actually didn't like you anyway. Like, yes, you did. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
You go full Trump. You're like, I never liked you, frankly.
No one did. Everyone's saying it.
You.
You're the worst.
I don't see why, because again, like, why would you want to be with somebody that doesn't feel the same way about you? I mean, it's worth the wait. At the end of the day, like, you know, you're going to eventually, I would assume for most of us, you're going to find that person or find a beautiful thing called the priesthood or whatever it is, and you're going to be happy there, and it's going to be a mutual thing. And so, like, why would you want to be with a person that's not
100%
on that same page with you?
That girl that I let down, she met her husband 3 weeks later.
Oh, nice.
They're married with many children, and we call them a family friend. They came to my youngest baptism. And they're,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Blessings on blessings.
Yes, right. Exactly.
All right, we got about 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left. Madeline, hit us with another one. Something lighthearted at the end, if you got it.
Lighthearted.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is lighthearted or not, mm-hmm. but I do want to get someone's opinion. And Katie, I'll ask you first. I haven't heard from you in a second.
Mm.
But should a boyfriend get a girlfriend a gift on Valentine's Day?
Yes. Sorry.
Thank you, Katie.
It's an obvious answer.
Katie, mm-hmm. what happened to all of your hair?
Oh, jeez. Tell us.
What you got? What's your answer?
Well, I'm not. So, I don't know if I'm allowed to ask for context, but like, when you say, should a boyfriend get a girlfriend?
Y'all are dating, you've been in a relationship, whether it's 1 week, 2 years, yes or no, whether, even if you're married.
Well, I mean, like, as in, like, the guy initiates?
No, getting a gift. Like, should the guy get the girl a gift?
Well, of course.
Obviously. Okay. Is there a counter answer to that? Like, I get my wife on Valentine's Day.
There was a little, me and my friends, we had somebody. I'm not going to go into it, but he didn't act on that, and we were all pretty pissed.
For shame.
Yeah.
So, Angie and I, we never go out on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
We pick a weekend near Valentine's Day, and like, that's our Valentine's Day because it's going to be cheaper and easier and less crowded and whatever, and it's easier to get babysitters, and it's a great time. But always. Plus, it's an excuse to go hang out with your wife somewhere, which is the coolest thing ever, especially when you have kids. That's a cool thing about getting old and having kids, is that all of a sudden, those dates with your wife are amazing again, because it's like, hey, you're a whole different person. You're not the mom of my kids right now. You're my wife, and I get to remember that this, we are sacramentally bound. That's so I'm looking at you because I feel like it'd be weird if I look at one of the girls. And so now we just get to have a conversation. We always try to implement we're not going to talk about the kids rule, but that never works. We always end up talking about the kids half the time, which is great. We really like the kids. Yeah.
Yep. I love that. No, I think you should always get a gift. Why not?
Totally.
Yeah.
Even if that's not your love. And a gift can be, I don't know, flowers on your way home and whatever.
I've done that.
100%. We do a lot
on the side of the road.
Yeah, we do a lot of like staycation dates where we're going to get kids down. I got this movie downloaded. We're going to watch this movie. We're going to eat something fun and stay. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. It's just super fun.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's the way to do it. All right. Anything else? 90 seconds.
This isn't a question, because if I posed it, it would go into in depth. But it is so important to love yourself before you love somebody else, before you get into a relationship with somebody else.
Yeah.
I would and say I just, to have your to know what your identity is rooted in before somebody else. And the answer to that is easy. It's Jesus Christ. And that's really hard, right? It sounds easy when I say it, but there's a lot more depth to it than that, obviously. And if you're wondering how to do that, if you're wondering how to get your identity rooted in Jesus Christ, I'm going to quote some seminarians that we had over for dinner who were talking about their vocation stories. And all of them revolved around them really understanding who they were and that they were loved as princes of heaven while they were in adoration, every single one of them. And then every single one of them said, and that's also where I felt the call to the seminary.
Love that.
So go to adoration, talk to Jesus. He's there. You can hang out with him whenever mm-hmm. you want. You can mm-hmm. talk to him, but you can go to the chapel, you can go to mass, and you can literally physically be with him. It's the best thing ever. What yeah. a gift.
What a gift.
Yeah. As a guy too, like, you won't know how to love somebody right until you learn how Christ loves you. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you emulate that to a large degree. I mean, you are supposed to exemplify Christ in your relationship. So that's what I would say is, in my singleness, I came into the faith dating somebody, and now I'm single for the first time in the faith.
Yeah.
And so, I'm trying to learn how to do that. And then I'm assuming that will be me preparing for when that time comes.
Praise God. Yeah. One of my prayers every single morning with my morning prayers is for God to help me love my wife the way that he loves her.
100%.
I'll never do it perfectly, but I'm going to try to approach it forever. And that's all the time we have for today. It's wild. I'm flying by, but we got to go. Thanks so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.